comments. I thank you for that as well. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, and don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have killed their first hostage. The body of a South Korean man with 10 bullet holes in his head, chest, and stomach has been found. South Korean news agency Yonhap is reporting that 8 hostages have been released. 14 hostages now remain. In Baghdad, 2 suicide car bombs struck a crowd of Iraqis celebrating their national soccer team's victory in the Asian Cup games. At least 60 people have been killed, and more than 100 are injured. In Britain, forecasts of more rain are further threatening large regions of central and western England, which has already experienced the worst flooding in 60 years. Today, Oxford residents were evacuated as the River Thames continued to flood its banks. Meanwhile, in southern and eastern Europe, a recent heat wave has killed hundreds. Temperatures have soared to triple digits, fueling wildfires from Italy to Macedonia. For the first time, a delegation from the Arab League is visiting Israel. The mission today by Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers is aimed at encouraging resumption of Middle East peace talks, which include concessions for the Palestinian territories. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats say 2 White House aides do not have immunity from testifying. Contempt of Congress charges have passed a Judiciary Committee vote and will continue on to the full House. The White House says former legal counsel Harriet Myers and Chief of Staff Josh Bolton are protected by executive privilege. In San Francisco, a federal judge has rejected attorneys' requests to throw out the lawsuits from 5 states concerning the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to rule on the cases next month. French President Nicolas Sarkozy arrived in Libya today to discuss improved relations between the Arab state and the European Union. This comes after Monday night's release of Bulgarian medics from a Tripoli prison. Bulgaria says that it is considering forgiving Libya's international debts. In eastern Afghanistan, a German journalist and his translator have been kidnapped. The men were attempting to reach a village to investigate civilian deaths in a recent NATO airstrike. In Pleasant Hill, California, 34 people have been indicted in connection with a computer scheme to change grades and transcripts at a community college for cash. In Manhattan, a federal judge has approved class action status for thousands of New Yorkers arrested for panhandling under a law found unconstitutional 15 years ago. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Bank, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but, of course, the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week. Yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out and putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrow.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A Senate panel today is expected to approve a measure placing tobacco under the auspices of the FDA. Several changes in practice may be built into the legislation, including the placement of graphic warnings on cigarette boxes. Also today, Disney has announced that it will ban the depiction of smoking in its family-oriented films. Marine biologists say jumbo squid are invading Central California waters to prey upon commercial fisheries, endangering fishery stocks. The huge squid are usually found only in warm equatorial waters. Listen to the voice of the earth. That is the Pope's new message to followers according to the transcript of a closed-door meeting released today. The pontiff, who is the leader of over 1 billion Roman Catholics, is encouraging people to protect the earth and prevent climate change. According to an in-house investigation, more than 29,000 registered sex offenders have profiles on social networking site MySpace.com. The website used by many children has deleted the offenders' accounts. China says police raided 2 criminal organizations accused of pirating $500 million worth of software worldwide. Beijing says the busts were the result of 2 years' investigation by Chinese police and the FBI. This quarter, lending companies have sent nearly 54,000 California homeowners mortgage default notices. That's a 10-year high. Oil is trading at 75.88. The Dow is up 70.32 points. The S&P 500 is up 7.5 points. There's more on our website.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Well, they did it. They did it. I'm very proud of my old committee, the committee I used to work as a counsel on. I wish I had done it. I wish I had my hands on it. I wanted to be a part of it. Okay, I can just now crow about it. Contempt. The citation has been issued. The gauntlet has been laid. Now, actually, it's just the House Judiciary Committee that has issued the citation. Until the full House votes on it, it's not an official contempt citation. But the House Judiciary Committee, under the leadership of John Conyers, has taken a grand step towards democracy, and it happened just an hour ago, less than an hour ago, when they held both Harriet Myers, the putative Supreme Court justice, may end up in prison, and Josh Bolton, the White House Chief of Staff, for refusing to tell the truth to Congress. It's not even just a question of telling the truth. They wouldn't come and tell anything at all. Republicans put up a hearty fight. They said, no, we don't want to know the truth. Please, please, Congress has no right to know the truth. That's in essence what they said. Jim Sensenbrenner, who was the guy that brought impeachment against Bill Clinton, the ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee, said, don't bring this contempt citation, because if we bring it and we lose in the courts, we may not have a right to subpoena anyone. Oh, that's a great idea. Abdicate responsibility under the Constitution because you fear that the presidential appointees on the court will say that Congress has no rights. Well, Jim Sensenbrenner, if Congress has no right to subpoena the president, then they're just going to have to impeach him. If the courts say that Congress has no right to have oversight of our nation's government, then anytime they have a disagreement with the president, they're just going to have to take him out of office. The other thing they can do is cease funding anything the president has his hands on. Don't you see, Sensenbrenner, that this is the least dangerous option? That when Congress wants to know the truth, other than shutting the government down, throwing the president out of office, all they're trying to do is get an answer. If you saw Attorney General Gonzalez yesterday, and if you didn't see it, I'm going to play for you the highlight, I think, which was his exchange with Senator Schumer. I'm going to play that on this broadcast, and it's not something you want to miss. Listen to how squirrely the nation's top law enforcement officer is. I'm going to play that for you. But what we have is a White House that is the most lawless and secretive White House in American history. And the only way to make something happen is contempt. Now, I should tell you that a week ago I was on my XM satellite gig, which I also do. I've got many gigs these days. Unfortunately, you can't hear that one because it's proprietary. You have to join XM and get channel 169. But I was there, and I made a very dramatic case for holding the White House in contempt. And I said, John Conyers needs to be called. I said he's a good man, that he wants to do the right thing. He just needs a little encouragement. And I encouraged all of my listeners across the nation to give John Conyers a call. Now, I can't say that we did it, but it certainly didn't hurt, because today, by a party-line vote of 22-17, the House Judiciary Committee held the White House in contempt. It's an amazing thing watching democracy work. I wonder if this is how Watergate felt. I really wasn't around then, but I do know this. These crimes are far worse than Watergate. It's one thing to spy on your political opponents. It's quite another thing to subvert the entire system of justice. It's quite another thing to say we won't prosecute the Republicans, but we'll only prosecute Democrats. We'll trump up things against Democrats. These are things that a tin pot democracy does. These are things, frankly, that Mexico does, and I do not have a lot of respect for the Mexican legal system. These are not things worthy of the nation's oldest constitutional republic. And if, as I suspect, the Attorney General is lying under oath, my friends, this is only the beginning. Because impeachment will not be enough. If the Attorney General is lying under oath to protect the President's illegal activities, he needs to go to prison. Thus the battle for our democracy begins. As I write on my blog, lying about sex is seedy, but lying under oath about secret unconstitutional actions by the President of the United States is a high crime that threatens the very foundations of our republic. And this is a do-or-die moment for the freedoms enshrined by the United States Constitution, a Constitution that everyone in our government swears to uphold, but this administration is currently working actively to subvert. May God protect these United States against its domestic enemies, including those most dangerous ones who hate our Constitution and currently reside and work at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. Now, what happens next? I'll tell you what happens next. And I know it's a slow process. You know, the wheels of democracy never did run quick. Congress is going to go into recess. And believe it or not, I support that. Because I think the president should have a full month to determine whether or not he will uphold his oath to preserve and protect the Constitution, or whether he will, in a fashion some may call treason, subvert the government, refuse to obey the Constitution. We'll see. Now, in past instances, these kinds of things have been averted through compromise. But it's never been as serious as this. There was one with Ann Burford, the EPA director under Bill Clinton, and some questions about improprieties there. But improprieties at EPA are very, very different from subverting the Justice Department. If the White House chooses not to comply, and I have to tell you, I don't think they will. I'm glad Congress is giving them the opportunity. I don't think they'll comply. I think this is a president who believes he is above the law, and he's controlled by a vice president who feels in his evil soul he is above the law. When the president refuses to comply, the entire House of Representatives will vote, and I predict will hold Josh Bolton and Harriet Myers in contempt. We'll turn it over to the Justice Department, the very department that is so corrupt. And again, I'm not attacking the thousands of honest prosecutors, federal prosecutors across the nation. In fact, I'm honoring them by saying I think the corruption's at the top. But the corruption at the top will then make a determination. They will submit the contempt citation to the D.C. federal prosecutor. And a D.C. federal prosecutor is required by law to go out, get a warrant for Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton's arrest, and throw them in the slammer. Now, what will happen? The D.C. guy is going to probably want to do his duty, but his boss, the President of the United States, is going to say, "Don't you do it! Don't you dare uphold the law against my people! I am the king! No one challenges me." At that point, the D.C. prosecutor will, I believe, be required to resign. Because he will be torn between his boss ordering him to break the law and the law telling him it has to be followed. It is his duty. There's no gray matter here. The law says it is his duty. And so I call upon the D.C. prosecutor, if the president tells you to break the law, you have to resign as well. All of you, just keep resigning en masse. Let's have not a Saturday night massacre, but a month-long massacre. Again, understanding what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about killing. I'm talking about the famous day when Richard Nixon ordered his attorney general to break the law, and his attorney general, Elliot Richardson, had the presence of mind and the respect for the law to resign other than to break it. I will expect D.C. prosecutors to do the same, and they'll keep resigning until it gets to good old Attorney General Gonzalez or some other flack, some other White House hack, some other person who's sworn to uphold the Constitution but spits on it understanding that his loyalty, Heil George, is more important than his country. Someone who will betray their country, much like Robert Bork did, in order to protect the person that brought them to the table. There may be such a prosecutor that refuses to obey the law, and if so, Congress is not out of luck, because it has the inherent power of contempt. It's been upheld by the courts. It hasn't been used since the 1930s. It hasn't had to be used since the 1930s, because since the 1930s, there's been a law, and the law has said that prosecutors have to hold in contempt when Congress asks them to, and they've all followed the law. No president has dared disobey this law before. That would be an impeachable offense. More on that later. But if, as I suspect, this president will refuse to uphold the law, as he's already said he's going to do, then they have the inherent power of contempt. And the sergeant-at-arms, which is who is a servant of Congress, needs to go out, bring some D.C. Capitol Police along, sit outside the White House, and wait for Harriet Myers or Josh Bolten to come, and then take them and spring them and grab them and put them behind bars in the D.C. Capitol jail before a whole bunch of cameras as a sign that our Constitution reigns supreme and that the president is not our dictator. He's not above the law. This, my friends, will be a dramatic constitutional crisis unless the president gives in, tells us the truth, and we find out what's going on. After the break, I'm going to play for you the dramatic testimony between Attorney General Gonzalez, the president's lackey, and Senator Chuck Schumer, who asked some very tough questions that Gonzalez refuses to answer. Is there another contempt citation around the corner? Will Fredo be sharing a jail cell with Harriet Myers? Tune in after the break and call in if you have any questions on this. I have studied this. I know this law well. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible. Like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Beep. the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Baeris. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, 1-877-443-2366. We're discussing the fact that the House Judiciary Committee, my old haunt, the place that I used to work, has finally done it. Done what I've been asking them to do for months, done what I asked all my listeners to call people to do, done what should be done. They have issued a citation for contempt. Now, this is the beginning. This is definitely not the end and certainly not even the middle. This is just the beginning of a process that could eventually lead to the restoration of our constitutional republic, to the restoration of the people being in charge. And it's an amazing thing. It's actually, again, I've been calling for it. I'd asked people to call for it. And they did it. They did it. I believe we have a caller on the line, do we? Cassie from Texas. Are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Hello, Cassie. You have a question for me.
I do. I watched part of the thing this morning on C-SPAN 3 on the computer, and it was just the House of Representatives. So when they finish it in the committee and then they have the whole House vote for it, first, why are they waiting till after the vacation? But
that's a great question. One of the reasons why they're waiting is because this is something that's an extremely rare procedure. It's virtually never invoked, and the reason it isn't invoked is because basically every time it's tried to happen before, the president's caved in. Now, whether the president's Democratic or Republican, every president prior to this one has understood that they have to turn over this information. In fact, the only one to even take it to court was Richard Nixon, and he lost in a 9-0 decision that forced him to turn over his tapes and led to impeachment proceedings and his resignation from the government. So what Congress is doing is they're trying to show every possible fairness to the president. They're saying, Mr. President, we're going to give you a month. We're going to give you a whole month to do the right thing and to comply. And so
if he does the right thing, and if they come in and they testify, then they won't vote for it, right? They won't.
Right. That's exactly
right.
You know, if the president turns over Harriet Myers and she tells the truth about, what happened with the U.S. prosecutors, that's right. There's no need for a contempt citation then. That's exactly right. This is
It's
a very specific thing, contempt. Contempt is not – there are two kinds of contempt in the law, actually. There's something called civil contempt and something called criminal.
I know one of them.
What's that?
One of them is if you swear at the judge.
Well, that's right. One is called civil contempt, and one is called criminal contempt. And actually, there is no it's both can send you to jail. Okay, so civil and criminal sometimes is wrongly understood, but criminal contempt is when you do something exactly. You swear at the judge. You do something wrong before the court. You disrespect the court. You do something in the courtroom that's unfair, and the judge says you have committed criminal contempt and you're punished for so many days. That's not what we're talking about. The more common contempt is something called civil contempt, and that is when they say you are required to do something, and the person says, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, we don't have torture, at least we're not supposed to have torture in America. You're not supposed to legally force someone to do something by torturing them. And make you can't make someone testify. I mean, you know, even if you torture them, people can refuse to
right.
talk. So the way that you force someone to talk in America is you use the practice of, it's called civil, though it's often not very civil, contempt. And that happens in the courts, and it's happening right now in Congress. And what they're saying, in effect, is we will put you in jail until you talk. This is what happened, by the way, to Susan McDougal. She was put in jail for 2 years. And she never did talk. But that's what they did with Judith Miller.
Happened,
they put her in jail until she talked. What's that, Freckle? What's that?
I was going to ask if Judith Miller was the same thing.
Yes, it's exactly right. Judith Miller is by court. Congress, uh-huh. it's very rare. It was by a court. The court held Judith Miller in contempt and said, until you talk to Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, we're going to hold you in prison. And she was in prison for many months, and then finally they reached an agreement, and she talked. This is what Congress has the right to do. They have the right to say that we have a right to oversee the government's, what they're doing. We have a right to call and ask people to testify. And if they refuse, most people don't refuse. Most people, when Congress tells you to show up, you show up. But if you refuse, there is this power, which is rarely used, to say, just like a court does, I'm sorry, you got to obey us. We're the Congress of the United States. Now, what's interesting about contempt is it's not a law. This isn't something that the House passes it, and then the Senate passes it, and the President has to sign it into law, and if he refuses, he can veto it, and then it requires two-thirds vote. No. Contempt is an inherent power of Congress. It's not a law. The President can't stop it. He can do nothing about it. And it's an inherent power of each House of Congress. So if the House can hold you in contempt, or the Senate can hold you in contempt.
So is this because it was the House that invited her and she didn't show up? That's why
exactly.
the House is doing it?
That's exactly right. The House Judiciary Committee.
If they didn't show up at the Senate, then they would be doing what they did today, but in a Senate committee.
Exactly. Oh. So the House Judiciary Committee didn't invite Harriet Myers to show up. They demanded Harriet Myers show up. They can invite people to show up.
That day? What happened?
They issued a subpoena. Oh, what if you're sick that day?
You
would say, I'm sick, and I'm sure Congress would not hold you in contempt for being sick. Now, if you were sick for a year and they believed that you weren't sick and were just faking it, they could still hold you in contempt. But Congress would be fair. If they knew you were sick, they'd say, okay, we'll do it a week from today. You know, I mean, it requires a vote of the entire House.
A friend of mine on the day of his tax test had 103 fever, and you know you have to go to the test, and he can't go because he had 103 fever.
Yeah, if someone were sick, all they would do is, you know, show a doctor's note or have them talk, and they'll reschedule for a week later. This is not about someone, you know, being sick, and frankly, like I said,
this is them just refusing.
Exactly right. This is simply refusing. And they do it because they claim executive privilege. They claim this something that is not, right. It's not in the Constitution. It is a privilege that's sometimes used to say that the president, in order to get confidential advice from his advisors, should be able to keep that advice confidential. Go ahead.
What I heard is that they can't claim executive privilege because
It may end up in the court.
The president didn't fill out the right forms, and his president never said, I'm going to give her executive privilege on this document and on that document, and she didn't bring the forms with her. Because the other lady came, and she kept showing the letter that she had that said what she could talk about. And the president
These are great questions. Kathy, these are great questions. You're talking about the difference between Harriet Myers and Sarah Taylor. Harriet Myers said, I'm just not going to show up. What Sarah Taylor had was a letter from the presidential counsel, Fred Fielding, and the letter told her what the president was allowing her to say and what the president was not allowing her to say. Now, that's not sufficient. I mean, they could have held her in contempt. I think they chose Harriet Myers because, one, the contempt was more flagrant. She simply refused to show up. Number two, Harriet Myers is a woman who's been in politics a long time. She was the White House counsel. She was a Supreme Court nominee. She's a very influential person in the government, and she's someone who clearly knows what she's doing and is defying Congress full well of the consequences, whereas Sarah Taylor is a woman, young woman in her 30s, and it's very low on the totem pole. And so I think they decided that they're going to make a test case rather than going after a fairly low staffer and putting her in jail, which, you know, I mean, she still should have told the truth to Congress, but Sarah Taylor may not really understand. I mean, the president's telling her to do one thing and Congress is telling her to do something else, and you know, she's stuck in the middle. Not that I have a lot of sympathy, because I think she should talk.
Do you think
she
really did sign an oath to the president?
Well, you say sign an oath.
Right.
She, in effect, that's exactly what she did. I mean, I don't know that she signed formally on the dotted line. But what Sarah Taylor did and what Harriet Myers has done, Josh Bolton, the chief of staff, have done, they've said, Congress, we refuse to obey. You ordered us to obey. This wasn't an invitation. It was a subpoena. It was a demand. And we say no. And we say no because the president told us to say no. And even though you may have the law on your side tough, we follow the president, not the law. And that's why you hold someone in contempt.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Those are some great questions there. Really
Thank
great
you.
Questions. When we come back, I'm going to play for you some more testimony of Attorney General Gonzalez. Now, this is in the Senate, before the Senate Judiciary Committee, totally apart from the House. The House Judiciary Committee has already issued its contempt citation. There will be a full vote of the House in September after congressional recess. I think we'll win that vote. I think they'll be held in contempt. The Senate, based on what Attorney General Gonzalez has just done, the Senate Judiciary Committee may well have its own contempt vote. Wait till you hear what Attorney General Gonzalez has to say, and I think you'll understand why I say that. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can grab off our website over at progressive.org. Republicans in Congress are going to the mat for an issue they claim is of the utmost importance, and that's denying health care to children. That's right, they don't want to expand the CHIP program to another 3 million or 5 million kids who are now uninsured. Their reason? They'd rather help the insurance companies. They want these kids or their poor parents to go out and buy insurance on the private market. Here's John Boehner, leader of the Republicans in the House. Dragging people out of private health insurance to put them into a government-run program, he said, is Hillary care come back. Trent Lott over in the Senate echoed the slur. It would be a significant step toward a government-run health care system, he said. Well, that's what we need in this country. And already we've got a government-run health care system called Medicare, and it works real well. The problem with the private health care system, as Michael Moore's Sicko amply demonstrates, is that a lot of people can't afford private health insurance, and many of those who can get jacked around by their insurance companies. But ideology is in the front seat for the Republicans in Congress, and kids, they're under the wheels. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here, nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes. Somebody's trying to make me
stay. You know I've got to be moving on. Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the contempt with which this administration holds this country and the Congress, and the fact that the House Judiciary Committee just 1 hour ago has found this White House in contempt. A full vote in the House will be held in September if the president decides to continue to disobey the Constitution. But, of course, it's not just the House with which the Democrats are in charge, of which, I should say, it's the Senate as well. And they've been doing their own hearings. They've been bringing the Attorney General himself there to talk about that little incident the night that he tried to persuade a very sick John Ashcroft to overrule the acting Attorney General, James Comey. We've talked about it at length in this program before. There's a lot. And, in fact, you really need to watch the whole 2 hours at some point. But the highlight of it, I thought, was his grilling by Chuck Schumer and the squirrely answers with which he gave. Before I get to that, though, I want to play just briefly, right before Chuck Schumer was introduced, the words of the Judiciary Chairman, Pat Leahy. And if you don't think contempt or a special prosecutor or impeachment or perjury, actually going to jail, is on Senator Leahy's mind, you need to listen again to his words. Listen to how he tells Attorney General Gonzalez to read over his testimony very carefully. I should tell you, the Republican, the ranking Republican, Senator Specter of Pennsylvania, told him the exact same thing. You know what that means? That means we think you're lying to us. And if we catch you in a lie under oath, then you will go from Attorney General, the highest law enforcement officer of the United States, to just another perp in prison. Listen to Leahy first.
Of course, all senators have the right to submit questions for the record, and the witness has the right, of course, to look at the record, and should he want to change or amplify any answers, he can. I'll be looking at that transcript. You may want to look at it very, very carefully.
I will look at it very carefully, Mr. Chairman.
I would recommend you look at it extremely carefully. Senator Schumer.
Got that? I would recommend that you look at it extremely carefully. Just wanted to play that little thing there because this is around the corner. I have to tell you, I predicted the contempt citation. I was on a panel on my radio show, The American Dream, my television show, and I had a panel of four people. Every one of them said the president wouldn't risk being held in contempt. I said, I think he will, because I knew this president was as stubborn as can be. Listen now to this exchange between Senator Chuck Schumer and Attorney General Gonzalez. Listen to Schumer's questions, very direct, and listen to Attorney General Gonzalez try but fail to avoid answering the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your waiting for the votes. I have just a few quick questions that I hope you'll be able to answer quickly and concisely. First, Mr. Attorney General, at the time you went to Mr. Ashcroft's hospital bed, did you know that power had been transferred to Jim Comey?
I think that I think there were newspaper accounts and the fact that Mr. Comey was the acting attorney general is probably something that I knew of.
You knew of it?
Well, again, sitting here today, I can't tell you, yes, absolutely, I knew. But let me make an important point here. The fact that transfer let's assume the transfer had occurred. There's no governing legal principle that says that Mr. Ashcroft, sure, if he decided he felt better, could decide, I'm feeling better, and I can make this decision, and I'm going to make this decision.
Thank
but
you.
To answer
but
your question,
you believe
I'm,
you knew.
Yes.
That's how. Is that a fair characterization?
I would say that, let's just assume that I knew, but again, I'm not sure that's the main point.
And at the time you went to Mr. Ashcroft's hospital bed, you touched on this. What was your understanding of Mr. Ashcroft's authority?
My understanding, sitting here today, my understanding is that the main main focus was is that Mr. Comey would be making the decision with respect to this matter.
All right. When you went to the hospital room, what was your understanding of Mr. Ashcroft's condition?
I don't know if I can recall exactly my understanding. I suspect it was that, of course, he was sick, had had surgery. I may have understood that he was in intensive care. I may have, from newspaper accounts, may have understood, in fact, that he had problems with his pancreas or gallstones or something.
Did you know that all visitors had been barred by his wife because of how ill he was?
I don't know if I knew that. Subsequently, I've certainly been made aware of the fact that she was being very, very careful in terms of who could visit with him and who could speak with him.
The facts have come out that all visitors were barred by her. Okay. Next.
Before he goes on to next, let's just look at just this little snippet of stuff. Did you know who was in charge? Attorney General Gonzalez. At that time, you weren't Attorney General of the United States. You were the President's counsel. You were his lawyer. You knew that John Ashcroft was the Attorney General of the United States. Did you know that he was sick, that he had surgery, that he had serious gallbladder or pancreatic surgery, and that he wasn't in charge? James Comey, number two, was the acting attorney general. Did you know that when you went in and tried to persuade a very sick man to do something that James Comey thought was so illegal that he and Ashcroft and number three, Ted Olson, and the head of the FBI all threatened to resign over it? Well, Ashcroft, sitting here today, I can't tell you why. Sitting here today, you can't. How much time have you had to prepare? My God, these questions have been written out for you. You don't know whether you knew who was in charge of the government? You're the president's lawyer, and you don't know who's attorney general at the moment? You know what? If he didn't know, he could say, Schumer, I didn't know. I didn't know. That's why I went to Attorney General Ashcroft. That's not what he said. He said, well, maybe if Ashcroft was feeling better, he could sign up. That ain't how it works. Just last Saturday, Bush had a colonoscopy, and he signed over powers to Cheney, and Cheney was in charge. Thank God we didn't get in a war in those few hours. Cheney was in charge for a few hours until the president signed back in. That's how it works. The attorney general would have to sign back in and retake his powers. Now, either Attorney General Gonzalez is the most idiotic person ever to be Attorney General of the United States, and I don't think he's that stupid. If he were, he could say, look, I didn't know how the president worked. I thought that while under the knife, Attorney General Ashcroft would be making all the nation's decisions. I thought that while he was under sedation, we had no Attorney General. I didn't realize there was an acting Attorney General, blah, 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 blah. He could say that. No one would believe him, but he could say it. It's not true. He says, assume I knew. Why won't he just say he knew? Because he knows that if he admits he knew, then they'll ask, why were you going to the guy who wasn't in charge? So I can't say whether I knew. Don't you think if he didn't know, he would say, Schumer, I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo. I didn't know. It happened suddenly. I didn't know. That's why I was there. He can't say it because there are documents that show that's false. So he hems and he haws. He's had, 6 months to think about his answer to this question? And he still doesn't know whether he knew that Comey was in charge? All right. We're going to take a break. There's a lot more here. You got to hear this exchange between Gonzalez and Schumer. We're going to take a really short break, I promise. And then we'll be coming right back. 877-4HEAD-ON, back right after this.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama. And they hate your Bible like they hate your freedoms. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Boy, Attorney General Gonzalez squirmed yesterday, and I have to say, Schumer wasn't the only one. Leahy was terrific. Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island asked some terrific questions. Even Republican Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, the same person who went after Anita Hill, the same person who really has led the front for a lot of Republican things, he was very concerned and suggested in the strongest possible terms that Ashcroft leave office. He also said that he needs to look at this very carefully. He also suggested a special prosecutor be appointed. Well, it's good to see that there's at least one Republican that cares about the Constitution of the United States. But Gonzalez's squirreliness with Schumer was just beginning. Listen to more.
Do you have documents in your possession reflecting the transfer of power or authority from Ashcroft to Comey?
I do have them now, yes.
You didn't have them then?
I don't recall personally having them. There is some question, as I understand it, about whether they came to the White House and who at the White House had them. But again,
wouldn't the counsel have gotten such documents?
I would think so, yes.
So you probably had them? Would that be fair?
I would say that that they may have come in. I have no recollection of that, sir.
Could you go through your records and produce for this committee any documents in your possession at that time or in your offices, the office of counsel's possession at that time?
I'd be happy to take that back and see if that can be done.
Why couldn't it be done?
Well, I don't know, Senator. If we can do it, we'll produce it.
Okay. Could you give them to our committee by Friday?
We'll certainly do our best.
Thank you. Did you discuss classified information in front of Mrs. Ashcroft, who did not have a security clearance?
It's my recollection that the answer to that question is no. General Ashcroft did virtually all of the talking, and he did all the talking with respect to the legal issues. I can't sit in here today. I don't believe that he disclosed classified information in the hospital room.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Who sent you to the hospital?
Senator, what I can say is we'd had a very important meeting at the White House over one of the most...
I'm answering your question, Senator. Did anyone tell you to go?
It was one of the most important programs for the United States. It was important. It had been authorized by the President. I'll just say that the Chief of Staff of the President of the United States and the Counsel of the President of the United States went to the hospital on behalf of the President of the United States.
Did the President ask you to go?
We were there on behalf of the President of the United States.
I didn't ask you that. Did the President ask you to go?
Senator, we're there on behalf of the President of the United States.
Why can't you answer that question?
That's the answer that I can give you, Senator.
Well, can you explain to me why you can't answer it directly?
Senator, again, we were there on an important program for this President on behalf of the President of the United States.
Did you talk to the President about it beforehand?
Senator, obviously there were a lot of discussions that happened during that period of time. This involved one of the President's premier programs.
But, sir, you're before this committee. You are before this committee. You're supposed to answer questions. You've not claimed any privilege. I don't think there is any here. And I asked you a question, and you refused to answer it.
sir.
Why?
If I can answer the question, answer the question.
I know, but could you tell me why you can't answer this question?
Senator, because, again, this relates to activities that existed when I was in the White House, and because of that, with respect to your specific questions, I will go back and see whether or not I can answer the question.
Did the Vice President send you?
And, Senator, we were there on behalf of the President.
Did you talk to the Vice President about it?
We were there on behalf of the President.
Will not answer that question as well. Is that correct?
We were there on behalf of the, I'd be happy to take back your question. If we can respond to it, we will.
Yeah.
Now, if the Vice President isn't part of the executive branch, as Cheney claims, how can it be executive privilege? By the way, James Comey testified. This honorable man, this Republican, the guy who was in charge under Ashcroft, very conservative man, he testified that he thought it was the President that ordered Attorney General Gonzalez to go to the bedside and try to trick a sick and drugged up John Ashcroft into violating the Constitution of the United States. And when George Bush was asked, did he send Gonzalez, he said, I'm not going to answer that question. It's none of your goddamn business. Well, he didn't quite say it that way. But that's what he said. You have no right to know what I do as president. So Schumer asked him a very direct question. Did the president send you? Did the vice president send you? I went on behalf of the president. Yeah, but who told you to go? Who told you to break the law? Who did the Don Corleone moment where you went to the drugged up guy on the hospital bed and tried to trick him into breaking the law? I'll get back to you. I'll let you know. Well, you better get back. And if not, contempt for Fredo. Listen to more.
No. You kept referring to this meeting of the Gang of Eight. Did any member of the Gang of Eight direct you to go to Ashcroft?
Okay, I need to translate this. The Gang of Eight is the four Democrats and four Republicans in the House and the Senate. They would be the leader... majority leader in the Senate and the minority leader and the Speaker of the House and the minority leader in the House. In other words, the head Democrat and the head Republican in the Senate and the House. And they'd also be the heads of the intelligence committees, Republican and Democrat. So there's eight because there's two houses times two leaders times two, you know, committees. That's the Gang of Eight. In other words, did you tell the eight most senior members of Congress and on the intelligence committee that what happened with Ashcroft? Listen to what he says. He told the Gang of Eight.
Hospital bed.
Oh, no. In fact, I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure that they knew that we went.
So they had no knowledge you were doing that?
Put it this way. I did not tell them that we were going to do
that. Did every member of the Gang of Eight know that Comey, Ashcroft, and Mueller and others were prepared to resign over the program?
Well, I'm not aware that that's true. That thing is true. But in terms of...
Comey testified to it. Now, you're saying... that Comey committed perjury or not? Speak up, Fredo. I'm not sure that's true. Are you saying the man lied? No, you're squirrely.
I'm not sure that we got into discussions about any resignations. The discussion centered on the fact that Mr. Comey was unwilling to authorize the continuation of this very important intelligence activity and that we were there to seek help from the Congress for legislation.
Understood, but did they know that there was dissent within the administration on this, within the Justice Department?
I was pretty clear, quite frankly, in making sure that they understood that the Deputy Attorney General did not believe that the President had the authority to authorize these activities. I didn't want to be accused of in any way not presenting in the most forceful way that I could the disagreement that existed. I think that they understood that there was serious dissent.
Okay. But you testified to us that you didn't believe there was serious dissent.
Oops.
In the program that the President authorized, and now you're saying they knew of the dissent and you didn't?
Oops!
The dissent related to other intelligence activities. The dissent was not about the terrorist surveillance program.
Now listen to this, folks.
At the present confirmed.
So if we asked the eight who were there, they would say that's the case? Either would they say that? Would they say it was not about the TSP, that it was about other issues? I thought you just testified that you brought them to talk about that issue because you needed legislation. Now you said,
I can't tell you what they would say if you asked them the questions. I'm just telling what I recall.
Wait, sir, we're going back to the, we're back in the same conundrum as always, where it just doesn't seem that you're leveling here with the American people or the committee.
I don't think I can be more clear.
Sir, you said that they knew that there was dissent, but when you testified before, you said there has not been any serious disagreement, and it's about the same program. It's about the same exact program. You said the president authorized only one before. And the discussion, you see, it defies credulity to believe that the discussion with Attorney General Ashcroft or with this group of eight, which we can check on, and I hope we will, Mr. Chairman, that'll be yours and Senator Specter's prerogative, was about nothing other than the TSP. And if it was about the TSP,
Terrorist Surveillance Program,
you're dissembling to this committee. Now, was it about the TSP or not, the discussion on the 8th?
The disagreement on the 10th was about other intelligence activities.
Not about the TSP. Yes or no?
The disagreement and the reason we had to go to the hospital had to do with other intelligence activities.
Not the TSP. Come on, if you say it's about other, that implies not. Now, say it or not.
It was about other intelligence activities.
Was it about the TSP? Yes or no, please. That's vital to whether you're telling the truth to this committee.
It was about other intelligence activities.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this.
Listen to
Did
the crowd.
The gang of eight have access to the Office of Legal Counsel opinions expressing concerns about the program's legality? Did they know that the Justice Department office in charge of saying whether this program was legal or not had said it's not?
In essence, what they understood was that the Department of Justice, Mr. Comey, was unwilling to approve the continuation of these intelligence activities.
Did they have
blame
any
it all on
if
Comey?
You're having a discussion here. You're asking them. You're asking them to approve new legislation. Don't you think it would be extremely logical and fair to tell them that the Office of Legal Counsel disagreed?
I think it would be equally logical for them to assume that if the Deputy Attorney General took that position, that perhaps the Office of Legal Counsel might also have that same position.
Okay. All right. Just one. I know Chairman wants to wrap up, and I appreciate that. Just one other quick question here. Chairman Leahy and Senator Specter and I have discussed some idea, they would have to go ahead with this, of having the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, come testify before the committee.
And he goes on to say that he thinks a special prosecutor should be appointed. And does Attorney General Gonzalez have a view on that? And he said he'd have to recuse himself. Bob writes in the chat room that the best thing to do is to put Comey and Fredo at the same table and make them call each other liars to their face. I think that's a terrific idea, Bob. I may have to suggest that to my friends. That is a great idea. But you know what? No one, not a single Republican, no matter how loyal they are to the president, no one has ever accused James Comey of lying. If you saw that testimony, and by the way, if you didn't, on my website, RadioInsideScoop.com, there is a show. Just go to Broadcast Archive and search for Corleone, C-O-R-L-E-O-N-E. There's a show called Bush's Don Corleone. I think it was in May of this year, where I actually play the tapes. And you can see for yourself James Comey's powerful testimony. No one has accused this conservative Republican, who nonetheless is more loyal to his country and the Constitution than he is to George W. Bush. No one has accused James Comey of lying. But Gonzalez is told to watch very, very carefully. I think the next step is when Gonzalez refuses to answer Chuck Schumer's questions, and he'll have till Friday. Good old Chuck Schumer gives him 2 days. He'll have till Friday. When he refuses, time to hold the Attorney General in contempt and or appoint a special prosecutor. If the Attorney General tells the prosecutors, don't put me in jail, I'm your boss, well, then Congress will have to use its inherent power of contempt. And wouldn't that be a great photo on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post? Sergeant-at-Arms takes Attorney General into custody. It's a beautiful thing. At least unless our Bush-packed courts don't respect the Constitution. But we'll see. It's just the beginning, my friends. And I'm proud to have said, to have predicted that contempt was the first way to go. That's all for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow. I've got a terrific interview on our election system. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have killed their first hostage. The body of a South Korean man shot 10 times has been found. South Korean news agency Yonhap is reporting that 8 hostages have been released. 14 hostages still remain. In Baghdad, 2 suicide car bombs struck a crowd of Iraqis celebrating their national soccer team's victory in the Asian Cup Games. At least 60 people have been killed and more than 100 are injured. In Britain, forecasts of more rain are further threatening large regions of central and western England, which has already experienced the worst flooding in 60 years. Today, Oxford residents were evacuated as the River Thames continued to flood its banks. Meanwhile, in southern and eastern Europe, a recent heat wave has killed hundreds. Temperatures have soared to triple digits, fueling wildfires from Italy to Macedonia. Today, a federal judge ordered Sudan to pay almost $8 million to the families of 17 sailors who were killed in the attack of the USS Cole in 2000. The funds will be extracted from Sudan's assets frozen by the U.S. For the first time, a delegation from the Arab League is visiting Israel. The mission today by Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers is aimed at encouraging resumption of Middle East peace talks, which include concessions for the Palestinian territories. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats say 2 White House aides do not have immunity from testifying. Contempt of Congress charges will have passed a Judiciary Committee vote and will continue on to the full House. The White House says former legal counsel Harriet Myers and Chief of Staff Josh Bolton are protected by executive privilege. In eastern Afghanistan, a German journalist and his translator have been kidnapped. The men were attempting to reach a village to investigate civilian deaths in a recent NATO airstrike. In San Francisco, a federal judge has rejected attorneys' request to throw out the lawsuit from 5 states concerning the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to rule on the cases next month. French President Nicolas Sarkozy arrived in Libya today to discuss improved relations between the Arab state and the European Union.